fellow corsairs. If it's a shanty you seek, pull up a chair. There'll be no scallywags aboard, no horn swoggling allowed. For we fight with great passion, these buckos be proud. The booty be plentiful, and the grog be ripe. We be swashbuckling on the seas with scurvy dogs in our sights. The swords have been sharpened, this land we defend. Ye swabs who think cross us will meet the rope's end. The fair winds are a-blowing, it's time to set sail. And don't ye forget, dead men tell no tales.
Good evening, guys. Welcome back to Cannonball Coming on RMU Radio. We are going to keep talking about the Pirates, as we have for the past couple weeks. The Pirates are off to a pretty decent start this year. They're 12-6. They won today against the Colorado Rockies. They played an afternoon game, 12:35 start.
Hold on, Matt. We forgot to introduce ourselves.
I'm getting there.
Real strong open to this episode, guys. Not as strong as the Pirates start, though.
This is like the first two games of the Rocky series right here.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I'm Matt Hurtick along with Mike Chulies here, and Loden Carney's across from me. He wants to make sure he gets his name out for everybody listening.
Of course. You need it out there. It's all about branding.
For anybody listening tonight,
do it for the brand, baby.
We appreciate anyone listening tonight. The Penguins are playing a big playoff game, so to know that you guys really like your buckos that you're listening, that's great to hear.
With that being said, I'm about to pull the Penguin game up.
There we go. We need live updates for the Penguins.
Absolutely.
So like I said earlier, the Pirates are 12-6 right now, and they are in first in their division. I mean, 12-6 is a really good start. The Cardinals are 10-7 behind them for number two. So one thing that we've noticed this year, and you know, all three of us were talking about it earlier, is that the Pirates have had some pretty low attendance so far, even though they're off to a really hot start, something that we haven't really seen from the Pirates for a while. They had the best start since the 70s that we talked about. So, Loden, what do you think about the low attendance so far this year?
I mean, I'm sorry, wasn't even speaking towards the mic. Now I am, but yeah, I mean, It's more of an issue. We've talked about it's a league-wide issue. The total average attendance is about down by 3,000, and yeah, you know, the weather is playing a huge part in that. I'm not going to deny that, but you know, even teams, you know, I mean, you look at it, you know, just point out there, Texas Rangers, you know, they're at 27,000, which, you know, they're a team that can, you know, get over 30,000 average, especially early, you know, and that's a warm area that doesn't necessarily have that bad weather. Toronto inside also down, but of course they also sold off a lot of their players. They weren't expected to be, you know, they were expected to be about average this year, so that could also be a reasoning for them. So I mean, it's a league issue. They only have one team averaging over 40,000 fans per game, whereas last year they had three teams averaging over 40,000 per game. This year they have, let me just look quickly, as it looks like they have, I believe, eight teams. Do I count eight teams?
Eight teams for what, Loden?
To have under 20,000 fans per game this year. I believe it's eight or nine teams.
I think nine teams, yeah.
Yeah, nine teams under 20,000, whereas last year there were two teams. So, you know, the weather is obviously playing an issue for some of these teams. Like, nobody's going to go to a state, and nobody's going to go out to a blizzard like yesterday. There's a reason that the past two games have been under 10,000 people at those games.
And yeah, they had to give out free tickets.
And there's a reason.
Exactly. I'm not going to pretend and ignore that the Pirates' attendance has nothing to do with the frustration that the fans have about what happened in the offseason. Regardless of how good the Pirates are now, fans are obviously still upset about the trade of McCutchen and Cole. I'm not going to pretend that that's not an issue, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, this isn't a league-wide issue, because, again, it's about 3,000 per average on the whole league that it's down at this point last year than it was. So it seems like, you know, that this is an issue that maybe it gets better as the season goes on, but this is something that the MLB should be looking at and not writing off as just poor weather, even though that definitely plays a factor.
And before you say anything, Mike, Logan was throwing out a bunch of numbers, and just to back it up with some statistics, you know, Boston this year, they're down about 2,500 people for each game. The Cubs and Cardinals are about 5,000 down. The Rangers are 7,000. The Pirates are at about 7,500 people. The Blue Jays, who play inside, and the Tigers and Royals are down 8,000. The Marlins, which we figured their attendance would be down, is down 10,000 people. In Baltimore, surprisingly, they're down an average of 16,000 people for each game that they've played this year.
Yeah, and some of these teams, you know, Kansas City, you can expect to be down because they got rid of all their guys. You know, Detroit, you can expect to be down because they're a bad team too. But it seemed like, you know, you mentioned Chicago. It shouldn't be that much down, even with the weather. St. Louis shouldn't be that much down too. So it seems like a league-wide issue, in my opinion.
Now, Mike, what's your take on this? Do you think it's more – I mean, obviously the weather is a big factor, but do you think anything that happened this offseason has any effect of what's going on so far for the Pirates?
Well, I certainly think it would be dumb to say that it doesn't have an effect. I think that turned off a lot of fans when you get rid of what you could arguably say are the two faces of the franchise with Cole and McCutchen. I think the weather has a big part to do with it, and a huge part. I mean, school's still going on and stuff, so not many people are going to be taking their kids out to the games and stuff. As for overall attendance, where we're going to be at the end of the year, I think this team, maybe at this point with this hot start, has showed a little bit more promise. I'd love to see where the numbers are if this team was, I don't know, had four wins at this juncture or something like that, and they just started off terribly. But I think at the end of the year, it's probably going to be about the same as it was last year, maybe a little bit lower. It all depends, because if they start to win, then people will show up. But if they finish how it's predicted and they're just plain old average, I think the attendance will be very similar to how it was last year, regardless of whether or not they got rid of McCutchen and Cole.
Now, I'm going to throw out, before we talk about, you know, we did lose Andrew McCutchen, and of course he was a fan favorite. And, you know, Derek Cole had lots of potential when we drafted him first overall back a couple years ago. But just to throw out, so far this year, in terms of if we're missing important pieces, Andrew McCutchen's batting 194. And I know it's early in the season. He has two walk-off hits. So he's only batting 194. And Derek Cole's been looking really, really good this year. He has a 1.29 ERA. His strikeouts, he's one of the tops in, like, the AL. He's 36 strikeouts so far this season. So I'll ask you again, Mike, and then we'll go to you, Logan. Do you think that Andrew McCutchen's going to step up his season to the point where we're going to look back and really regret trading him in terms of looking at him as a player and not as a fan favorite?
I don't think so, really. Obviously, that fan attachment is there, and he certainly has the ability to be an MVP in this league that we've seen. But I think his MVP days are gone. I think he's just going to end up being probably around an average player for the remainder of his career. And for that contract that he's on right now, which isn't ridiculous, but it's more than you'd want to pay the average player, I just don't think that he's going to come around, and I could be wrong. And for him, yeah, I'd like to see him return to maybe not the full MVP-type cuts that there once was, but a player that's, like, at that all-star level right around there, I'd like to see that for him because, you know, I was a big McCutchen fan, obviously. I'm a Pirates fan. And I think that the amount of work he put in and stuff, he deserves that. Do I think it's going to happen, though? I really don't. I think he's about, I wouldn't say he's done, but he's kind of winding down here. And I think he's going to be reduced back to what he's been in the past couple of years, and that's pretty much about average.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, Andrew McCutchen. And like I said, we look at Derek Cool and the 21 innings that he's pitched this year. He has 36 strikeouts. So right now it's looking like a good trade for Houston. But What do you think about the Derek Cool trade and about how well do you think he's going to perform this year, Logan?
Well, I was looking stuff up about the McCutchen deal because I was expecting to be talking about the McCutchen trade, but
I'll talk about Cole first.
Yeah, I'll talk about Cole. You know, I didn't like the return that they got for Cole. I've been outspoken about this since the moment he was traded, in that I think he should have got more than what they got, because you know, the Yankees were reportedly offering Clint Frazier, one of the best outfield prospects in the game. And would have slotted right in for McCutchen, assuming that they would have traded him. And I feel like that would have been a much better return than Colin Moran and Joe Musgrove and the other two guys I got. I think it was Feliz, and I can't think of the fourth guy that they got.
We have Musgrove, Feliz, off the top of my head. Moran, at least.
Those were the big three anyway. Those were the highlights. I said that you know, Cole, he's 26 years old. He's a starting pitcher. He's going to be making under $10 million in the next 2 years. 2 years ago, he was a Cy Young candidate, finished fourth in the voting in the Cy Young. You know, he's shown flashes potential. Yeah, he's been down the past 2 years, but reality is he's turning 27, and he's cheap for two more years, and he's a starting pitcher. And people always overpay for starting pitchers. And I feel like they should have got more. They should have got, you know, one of their top prospects. I would have liked them to see him go to the Yankees for Clint Frazier and maybe one other person as opposed to the group of four they got. But, I mean, it's not like the guys they got are bad players. Mm-hmm. They got decent guys, but they didn't get a star. And I felt like Cole is someone you should have got a star.
I want to say maybe, like, I don't know. Because I think Moran will be a decent player, and he's still really young. I think Moran's, like, what, 25? So he still has some room to grow. I think he'll be decent, but, I mean, yeah, if you have a guy like Frazier who was rumored to be offered, I think you could go there. And, yeah, I don't think they got as much as they should have got for Cole, and he has been lights out this year. Yeah,
well, he's historic. Is it what he did?
Yeah, he has a historic start right now.
Yeah.
But could I see him falling off? I could. Could I see him keeping up? Maybe. I mean, he's still, at 26, 27, he still has a lot of serviceable time left in his career. So this won't just be a thing that we'll see what it is for a couple of years. He's going to be around in this league for a while, and I think he can continue to develop into that ace that he was drafted to be.
Yeah, the problem with Garrett Cole is the Pirates find themselves getting pitchers, not necessarily guys that are going to come out and dominate, but guys that will consistently throw strikes. If you look at the pitchers that the Pirates have used the past couple of years, we had, you know, J.A. Happ for that, you know, half a season that he did phenomenal. And, you know, Ivan Nova came and did really well at the beginning of the season last year. Right now, Trevor Williams is doing very well. These are all guys that are your ground ball pitchers. They're going to get the other pitcher or other batters to put the ball in play. Garrett Cole is not that type of pitcher. So I think with Ray Searidge as our pitching coach trying to get Garrett Cole to throw, you know, to make for contact, I think that was a problem for Garrett Cole. But I know, Logan, you wanted to talk about McCutchen. So why don't you tell us your thoughts on the McCutchen.
Yeah, the McCutchen trade, they got the return that I expected. People expected them to get this big return for McCutchen, but reality is he hasn't been that great the last couple of years. So, from a statistical, purely analytical point, the trade was not a bad one for Pittsburgh, although a reliever and an outfielder that may never make the majors, you would have liked to have seen a better reliever, someone better. But as far as it goes, if we're looking back at the end of this year, I mean, first of all, I'm not going to be rolling out McCutchen. I'm not rolling out McCutchen for returning.
Yeah, exactly.
I
don't think he'll be back.
I don't think his bad start.
Not now, but are you saying returning to the Pirates, or are you saying returning to form?
Form. Because the reality is, you know, you look at his numbers, all right? And Andrew McCutchen is someone that has struggled in April throughout. So this 196 batting average for him, it is way too early for McCutchen to say, you know, he's going to have a bad year and the Pirates won this trade. His batting average in career in April and March is .249, which is the lowest in every month. And then it picks up. In May, it's .300 with a .494 slugging percentage, .383 on base percentage. In June, his slash line is .319, .394, .525, which is impressive to have a slugging percentage over .525. In July, it's again 300, 380, 535. And then he cools down a little bit in August and September with 286 and 280. And on-base percentage, slugging percentage, just a little bit lower. So McCutchen, I'm not saying, you know, he's going to have this bad year. The Pirates won the trade already because he's batting 196 because he's always struggled in April.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, if we go back at the end of the year and we're going to say that, you know, we wish the Pirates wouldn't have done this deal, I think even if McCutchen struggles, I think people in Pittsburgh are not going to change their minds about the McCutchen trade. And reality is, because McCutchen's, you know, we can break this down statistically as much as we want, but McCutchen was so much more than just numbers in a lineup, just RBI totals and home runs and batting average to the average Pittsburgh fan.
Oh, absolutely. And what he did for that team was he was the first guy that really got it started in breaking that streak. And he was the star, and he was the face of the franchise. And what a class act as a person. You couldn't have asked for a better person off the field to be that guy for your franchise. And the Pirates not only got a superstar on the field, they got a superstar off the field. And that's why I think he was so loved mm-hmm. around Pittsburgh. Now, as for the trade, are they going to win or lose? I see it as though they won. For the fact that, I mean, they broke even with the return, I feel. Losing McCutchen and the return they got, I mean, yeah, you could ask for a little bit better, but if you think about it, though, what's McCutchen's contract this year? Like $14 million, something
it's
like
12,
that?
12. 12 or 14. One of those. 12, 13,
I think,
or 14.
I think
in that
the
range.
Pirates won in that aspect because they don't have to pay that contract. And if you look at it that way, especially for a small market team like the Pirates, you can't afford to be really paying pretty much a dead average player. What was his WAR last year? If I could look that up real quick here.
Well, I mean, it just as far as McCutchen goes, I'll just talk a little bit while you look that up. But as far as McCutchen goes, you know, he's not someone that, you know, again, like if the Pirates signed McCutchen to a long term deal and he retired a Pirate, nobody in Pittsburgh is gonna. I don't think. Yes, you have those people that do boo him at games because that did happen last year and that did happen 2 years ago. But nobody at Pittsburgh is going to be like, man, I wish McCutchen did not retire a Pirate. Nobody's going to say that because McCutchen is a lot more than just a player. He is the person that returned the Pirates to a competitive guy. He is the face of a franchise and everything like that. Similar to how Evan Longoria, who also went to the Giants, if he stayed with the Rays for the rest of his career, nobody in the few Tampa Bay fans that they have weren't going to criticize the Rays for doing that. Because, you know, these are the guys that are the face. What I think that this signifies, though, what frustrates me is just how less common it is for guys like the Todd Heltons or the Derek Jeters or I'll throw out a name that's here, the Joey Vados, who play their entire major league career with one team. That's something that we don't see anymore. That's something that we continually won't see, regardless of a contract. Even if a contract looks untradeable, they will find a way to get rid of it. Just look at Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
That contract, it was a no trade clause, highest paid player in baseball history by far, and they found a way to move that contract. You know, it's sad that this is what it's come to. It's kind of should have been expected with no salary cap and with how unfair it is for, you know, small market teams to compete, at least in free agency, in terms of retaining players. But it just signifies, you know, it's not something you won't see Sidney Crosby leaving the Penguins. You won't see Ovechkin leaving the Capitals. You won't see Ben Roethlisberger leaving the Steelers. You won't see basketball is a little bit different. You won't ever see Steph Curry leaving the Warriors.
See, here's the thing, though, with basketball. Even with basketball, you really never know. And really with the full free agency is you just don't know anymore. And for the players, there's too much money at stake. And for the teams, there's too much risk at stake. I mean, unless you're kind of in a situation like the Dallas Mavericks, I think, are a perfect example where Dirk's going down and the team's direction that they want to go in is down. And they're probably going to correlate at that same path they're heading down. By the time Dirk heads out and he's done, the team's going to start heading back up. wants some of the players that they're getting in the draft develop, hopefully, well, for them.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, because the reason that a lot of these players are traded in baseball and got rid of baseball is because they are heading down, too. Because if the Pirates wanted McCutcheon, if the Pirates could have signed McCutcheon and went and have McCutcheon
absolutely,
go down
but here's
them.
The thing, though. I think the goal of the Pirates, though, and we've heard it from the front office, is they want to remain competitive. And in order for them to remain competitive, they can't have him on the team where he's just okay. Yeah, even though he was, I found his WAR. He had a 2.4 WAR last year, which isn't terrible. It's obviously two games.
Best, like, better than average.
Better than average, but not like.
Not McCutcheon. Not great. Not McCutcheon.
And is it worth $12 million or $14 million last year for a 2.4 WAR, or a player that's just above average? So for them, their mentality, if they want to compete, which I think that is their goal, is, all right, let's ship this guy out and let's take the money we save on him and try to bring in other contracts. However, we really haven't seen that from this team, though.
But that's the thing that I think the issue is with baseball, in that, you know, the large market teams can afford to do that. The teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers. I mean, how much – the Dodgers acquired about $100 million of contracts that for players that never played a game for them, because they wanted to upgrade their team, so they acquired these bad contracts, and these guys never played a game for them. And they did that last year. And their money in terms of dead money was higher than the Pirates' payroll last year. All right, so it's difficult for the Pirates to compete without a – yes, they can compete. They can compete. They can. I don't want to, you know, cry the Pirates never have a chance, because we've seen small market teams win. The Royals are most significantly, and then other smaller teams have been able to do it too.
I mean, look at the Pirates. They won 98 games.
Yes, but the problem is when, you know, you brought up how they can do consistently. That is where not having a cap is what the issue is, because for a small market team in the major league, it is near impossible to be consistently relevant. Yes, the Yankees can do it. Yes, the Dodgers can do it. Yes, the Cubs can do it. Yes, the Astros will be able to do it from now on. Yes, you know, all these teams can do it. But for a team like the Royals can't do it. The Pirates can't do it. The A's can't do it. You know, the Cardinals miraculously have found a way to be, you know, they have a middle, they're mid-market. They have middle in cap, usually in salary. They're the only team that I can think of off the top of my head that is consistently relevant despite not being one of the larger payroll teams, because that's just how difficult it is without a salary cap. And they should put a salary floor in too, but that's a different discussion in MLB.
So we're going to segue. You guys talked a lot about, like, the analytics of, you know, Andrew McCutcheon and stuff. So we're going to segue into the players that we have now, which we got rid of Andrew McCutcheon, and although we didn't directly get anybody current on the Pirates, at least making a big name.
What do you mean? Carl Crick is a huge name.
Yeah,
He just came up. I'm talking about in the outfield. But the Pirates, with the money that they're not using right now, they were able to make the best deal that they could have made in the world. They got rid of Daniel Hudson. They got Corey Dickerson. And Corey Dickerson, unfortunately, had his 11-game hit streak snapped just last night against the Rockies.
I didn't know he had an 11-game hit streak.
He did have an 11-game hit streak. This year, he is batting .328, has how many RBIs? Is
350.
He has 12 RBIs. He's .354 on base percentage.
525 slugging.
Yeah, he's by far the best hitter right now on the Pirates. So, Corey Dickerson, I mean, he's batting the best batting average.
You can argue Marte.
I would argue that Corey Dickerson's probably our best hitter right now. 11-game hit streak.
I think it's a fun argument to get into. Can we get into that argument?
We can in a minute. So, yeah, but Corey Dickerson, we get Corey Dickerson from the Rays for Daniel Hudson, who Daniel Hudson isn't even on the Rays roster anymore right now.
Didn't they cut him?
They cut him, right? They cut him. So
that's a power move.
The reason that they would get rid of Dan, like the reason that the Rays would want Daniel Hudson in the first place for Corey Dickerson is absurd. But we ended up getting him, and I think right now he's filling the void.
What else did we send over? We sent like two no-name prospects.
No, it was straight up
Daniel Hudson.
They wanted Dickerson off their payroll, and they traded for Hudson, who is $5.5 million, which I think makes a little bit more than Dickerson, and then they cut Hudson.
So, okay, so Logan, you want to debate? Just to throw out the statistics before we debate. Corey Dickerson this year, he has 20 hits, has 12 RBIs, is batting .328, only with 7 strikeouts. slugging percentage of over 500 is on base plus slugging is upwards of about 0.9. It's up there.
Can I?
And then I'll just throw Marte.
Wait, 0.9? Where do you see 0.9?
His on base plus slugging is 0.878.
All right, can I say my guy's stats?
You can say Marte's stats.
All right, Marte, like you said, 20 hits, the same amount that Dickerson has. But the key difference here is how big the hits are been. He's had three triples, which three home runs, which is both more than Dickerson has. He also has five stolen bases, more than Dickerson's two. He's also drawn 10 walks, more than Dickerson's two. 308 is it's a slightly lower batting average to Dickerson's 328, but on base percentage 400 to 354, and slugging percentage 569 to 525, and OPS 969, by far the highest on the team, a full 0.1 points higher than
Logan
Dickerson.
I have a question for you. Looking back at the career so far of Starling Marte, he's like 29 years old right now. Do you think he fully lived up to his potential?
If he does not get suspended for steroids, then yes. Because if we go back to the 4 years prior to, and this is the stat that I throw out all the time, the 4 years prior to Marte's suspension, there were two players in all of baseball that had a WAR, I think it was above 5 for each of those 4 years. The one was Mike Trout. The other was Starling Marte.
Would this season include 2016, the only year he was an All-Star?
Yes.
Because he had a WAR of 4.9.
And it's over 4. It's 4 over 4. It was one of those two. It was 4 through 6. There's only been two players in baseball to do it in that four-year stretch, and it was Starling Marte and Mike Trout. Now, nobody's going to say Marte is better than Trout. Nobody is. But in terms of that,
if you
consistently,
tell me that Starling Marte is better than Mike Trout, and you know nothing about baseball. So that let's throw that one out.
I just said nobody would say it.
I'm saying
the point is that during those 4 years, there was nobody else in baseball that was as consistent as Marte besides Mike Trout. All right, and yes, Marte did not get the recognition of Mike Trout because there was a certain center fielder, a dreadlock center fielder who was still the face of the franchise, who in 2015 still had a phenomenal year, you know. And so obviously Marte's, you know, recognition and everything went down, so he didn't get viewed as the type of player he was. He was quietly the second best player in baseball in terms of WAR, which is, I think, the best metric to register that.
Go ahead.
So, okay, I know you're talking about Marte, second best player in baseball, but I don't even know what you're talking about. We can just throw out some more statistics real quick. So far this year, Corey Dickerson has a WAR of 1.6.
Well, what's the statistics against Marte, though?
Yeah.
But what's the statistics against Marte, though?
I don't think he was ever the second best player in baseball.
I'm saying consistently.
Absolutely. If you want to say one thing about Starling Marte, he has been consistent, and he is a great defender. I feel he has a ton of range, and he has a cannon for an arm. I wish Polanco would be half as good as a defender as him. Polanco, we've seen have some accidents out in the outfield, but I mean, I'm trying to think back to when Marte, because I remember there was all the hype around Polanco, like this is it, this is the final piece in that
but
outfield.
But that's the thing, Marte's recognition was down. He was quiet. I think so too. I think back to when the Brewers were and Brian Braun won the MVP. I didn't know who Ryan Braun was because I was worried about Prince Fielder. You know, my point is, because there was a star in center field, and this is not a knock on McCutcheon because I love McCutcheon. His number is going to be retired by the Pirates one day. I already feel it, and all this is going to happen. But the point is,
he gets retired. Yeah.
But the point is, you know, you. Marte, the fact of the matter is that he was the second most consistent player in baseball.
So he was the second most consistent player in baseball, but he only made one All-Star game.
Because first of all, if he did this,
but what I'm saying is, if he's that good, don't you think? And now, not am I saying that the All-Star game is the be all end all. If you're not in the All-Star game, you're not a worthy player, because that system certainly has its issues, but. I think he has the two gold gloves, but don't you think he'd have a few more accolades?
Well, he should. I'm not saying he should.
I feel like every year we go into the season thinking that it's going to be Marte's year where he's going to have We think that he's going to hit for power.
Well, here's my thing.
He doesn't, and I think
that's not true.
I think
though.
His build though is like
that's statistically wrong. He had over 20 home runs the 1 year. He batted over 300 2 years ago. That's wrong.
He has never hit over 20 home runs.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. The most he hit was 19 in a season, and that was in 2015.
You're wrong. I correct myself. Yeah, but he still had 81 RBIs that year. And that same year, he had 30
doubles.
But
here's my thing. That you look at him, he's because he always played in left field, and you're looking at your corner outfielders like that to be like your top power guys. All right, and I think his frame kind of where he's kind of he's shorter. He's not the tallest man in the world, but he's just built. Like, you could tell that he's just physically strong. And I think maybe you might see, oh, wow, he has that fifth tool where he could be a great power hitter. I mean, while he can certainly hit for power, I don't think you'd call him a great power hitter.
Well, his power is more gap power. His power is getting doubles and triples. You know, when he came up in 2013, he had 10 triples in the year, which is insane. Because it's harder to get a triple than a home run.
And he's incredibly fast. Even then, that number has declined since he hit that 10. The highest he's had is 6, and that was back the year after in 2014. And even last year, yes, he had the suspension. He still hit 7, or I'm sorry, 2. He had 7.
Keep in
doubles.
Mind, he's also missed about 20 games each year outside of 2015, too. He hasn't played. Yes. That's his downside with me. The suspension, obviously, the biggest downside, and his injury problems are the other one. If he stays healthy, if he doesn't get suspended, then I think he did live up to his potential.
Then
I think,
do you think
during the 4 years from 2013 to 2016, there are four phenomenal years that we can't overlook.
Right, so I'm going to make another analogy. Is he the Evgeny Malkin to McCutcheon, Sidney Crosby?
No.
If you go back into their prime.
Yes. Obviously, those two were never 1-2 in the league like Sidney Crosby and Malkin are. But yes, in a way they are because Malkin does not get as much recognition as he deserves because of Sidney Crosby, because Sidney Crosby is there. If Crosby's not on the Penguins, you think Flyers fans won't be chanting Malkin sucks every time they play us? You know, it's Marte did not get the recognition he deserves because of McCutcheon. He did not make more All-Star games because, frankly, nobody outside of Pittsburgh cares about Pittsburgh, and that's just reality. In 2016, they had, what, 8 Royals make the All-Star team? The All-Star system is flawed. He didn't get as much as what he should have because of, you know, he was overshadowed by other players. Because you even had a guy like Bryce Harper, who even though he put up better numbers in a couple years, he still got overshadowed.
So last question for you to wrap this up here. This is a yes or no question. Will Starling Marte, barring a suspension or an injury, is Starling Marte going to be an All-Star this year?
I don't think so. And the reason I'm going to say it is that so far this season, Starling Marte has been inconsistent. He has 20 hits this year, but 5 of them
are
in 1 game.
I don't think he's been inconsistent.
The guy you said the best is 20
let
hits.
Hold on.
The guy you said the best was 20 hits.
He has not been inconsistent.
Let me talk. Marte has had a couple games this year where he has had he goes 0 for 4, 0 for 5. I don't think that Marte will make an All-Star appearance this season because I think that when the All-Star
every player goes 0 for 4.
I'm well aware of that. I think that when the All-Star break comes, Marte will only probably be batting 270. That's my thought on it. I don't think that Marte is the best center fielder out right now to be in the outfield in an All-Star game with so many, you know.
Well,
great
I didn't say
players.
He would start. I think he'd make the. I think he'd make the team though. Out of everyone on that team though, I think he has the best shot to make it.
Who would make it over him?
Who's the Pirate All-Star this
year? Who's the center fielder? You said he's not one of the best center fielders. Who's better than him?
I mean, you have outfielders like Bryce Harper that are out here.
Not a center fielder.
Right fielder.
Doesn't matter. I mean, he's an outfielder.
He's a right fielder.
Right fielder. He's not.
I mean, Marte was a left fielder.
But you said center field.
Yeah,
you said best center field. Yeah. So give me the center fielders that are better.
You didn't put a right fielder and a left fielder in center
no,
field.
You give me the center. You said he's not the best. Quote, unquote, he's not the best center fielder out there. Give me the center fielders that are better than him.
I have to think about it then, Logan.
So you can't make the statement.
Teams. I have to think about the different teams.
Look, the fact of the matter is.
I wasn't prepared coming in here to name you all the center fielders in the National League.
You can't make a statement without backing up and expect me not to challenge you on it.
Yeah, I think you're a little.
You do that stuff all the time, Logan.
I think you're
they challenge
little,
me.
You're a little off there, Curtic, with saying that he isn't an All-Star caliber player. He definitely is, and the only reason he
didn't
make
I
it
didn't
last year is because he was suspended the whole first half.
I didn't
half
say
of
that
year.
He isn't an All-Star caliber player. You said, is he going to make the All-Star game? And I said that he wasn't. which is a little bit different. He's had seasons where
he talked about how he wasn't consistent, even and you know, you said he has, well, yeah, he has 20 hits. Well, that's tied for the team lead with the guy that you said the best player.
Right, I'll name
so you can't say he's not consistent.
I'll name
he has more home runs. He has. You know, he's in the top 10. He's in the, you know, he's 7 RBIs, which is decent at this point. 10 walks, 5 stolen bases. These are phenomenal numbers.
Ready for a better center fielder? Charlie Blackmon. He's a better center fielder than Starling Marte.
All right, that's one.
All right, that's
and
one.
Charlie Blackmon. Well, then I just said he isn't the best center fielder in the National League.
You said there's a bunch of guys above him. So.
Oh, my gosh, Logan. You ever hear of just
if you can give me 5 guys in the National League that are better than Marte.
Right, no, I'll give you 3. I'll give you 3 because that would then take away his spot in an All-Star game.
Well, no, you don't pick 3 center fielders.
Yeah, but
well, you rotate them out.
You can you take pick, that many outfielders.
You have
go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Who my 3 are?
Yeah.
Over Marte, I put Marte in that top 3. I probably go Blackmon, and then who else? I'm gonna go wild card. I'm gonna say Yelich makes an All-Star.
I mean, AJ Pollock is another.
Yelich is in
fielder.
A. I don't think Yelich is playing is center Yelich, field there. Though.
Yelich is playing center field, Logan. Yelich, Pollock, Charlie Blackmon are all center fielders that could potentially have a better season than Starling
well,
Marte.
Well,
but I think
why
I think,
are you saying Pollock over him? Pollock hasn't been healthy
though,
in like 5 years.
But here's the thing, though. Marte is
Pollock's
certainly
had, Pollock
in that
had one good year.
And you know what? I think at the end of the day, a typical Starling Marte is going to have a typical season where he's going to bat between
280,
300 and like 280. I think he's going to end up batting like 285, probably like 21 home runs. I think it will eclipse that, and then like probably like 85 RBI.
I'm not saying that Marte is not
think
a
that's
great
where
player.
End up.
Look, if I'm looking at this team,
get him a, does he win the Gold Glove though?
No, Marte is a very, very, very good left fielder, which is he's deserving in terms of his arm. He is very fast to be in left field, especially in PNC Park when you need a very fast left fielder because of you know how big that
well
that
now
gap
he,
is.
He, well he could cover for Corey Dickerson now
that's
he
the
has
thing.
The speed
and
to make
that's
up
the,
for that.
Corey Dickerson isn't the fastest guy. He isn't even the best fielder, but I mean he hustles. But Starling Marte was a very good left fielder. I still don't think that he has gotten center field under control yet, and it's going to take a little bit. I know that in the short time that we saw him in center field before he was suspended and McCutchen went back, it was kind of a little bit like rough.
I don't think he won't be anywhere near as bad as McCutchen.
Oh, McCutchen
field,
was.
Though.
For as much as people think that McCutchen was a good fielder, he was not. And I mean, that's just the reality of it.
I'm thinking maybe it's time
well,
for us. I'm going to cut you out there, Logan.
Yeah, just the same.
I think it's time for us to get up and stretch a little bit.
I think
with
it's time.
The good
I think
old
we need some stretch.
Seventh inning stretch.
All right, guys, today's seventh inning stretch is brought to you by WB Mason. They have something related to the Pirates. I don't know what it is, but we're just going to say it. Not actually brought to you, not actually sponsored.
We are not sponsored by WB Mason.
We are actually...
I was going to say, I'm going to go on a limb and say Bob Nutting has some ownership stake in WB Mason somewhere, probably. Sponsored by Seven Springs.
This is, though, see if I can, this is, though, I would like to say, though, before we do our quick little seventh inning stretch, did you guys know that the Allegheny County is hiring lifeguards ages 16 and older for its pools and boys, North Settlers Cadden and South Parks? Earn $11 to $13 per hour plus bonuses. Don't miss your chance to make great money this summer as an Allegheny County lifeguard. For details, go to AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. That's AlleghenyCounty.us/lifeguard. Allegheny County Parks, always inspiring fun.
I will say that we are not partnered with them.
We are.
But
we are partnered with them.
Oh, yeah, we are. So yeah. I'm going to cut you off there, Yost. I'm going to call a timeout
here. Don't say
here.
That.
I'm
we're going to lose
say,
some money. You just yeah, called really, him Yost.
Oh, I call him Yost? I'm sorry, Kurtic. I always get you two confused. Anyways. I was going to say, that was a phenomenal ad plug because of the way he just dove right into it.
Logan, I don't want to see you be a lifeguard.
I could definitely not be a lifeguard. All right, but guys, on the seventh inning stretch today, we're going to play a quick game. We're going to go back to our little trivia game here. And
Boy. I got screwed out of the last one. I went back and watched the tapes. I definitely finished saying Honest Wagner first.
Well, don't worry. This one's going to be a little bit more fun. We're going to call this one the 20 worst moments from the Pittsburgh Pirates 20 consecutive seasons.
Ooh. Can I go for number one already?
Well, we're not just going to go down the list. I'm just going to ask you questions. All right, and you guys got to guess who or the answer to the question. All right, so question number one. This started off the 20-year losing stretch. In December 1992, Barry Bonds and who left the team as free agents? Barry Bonds and
Andy Van Slyke.
That is incorrect.
I was going to say Sid Bream, but Sid Bream was the guy that knocked us out there.
We were looking for Doug Drabeck.
Doug Drabeck.
I also would have accepted, even though it's Bobby Bonilla, who left after the 91 season because of his contract situation.
True story. Yeah. The Mets are still paying him.
Bobby Bonilla day.
Wait, what?
Okay, so, Mike.
Quickly.
The Mets signed him to such a big contract that instead of paying him the money up front, they decided to separate it so that he makes, like, I don't even know how much money each year. For like 21 years.
Yeah, so
for 21 years, they're paying him like every.
Well, since 2011, Bobby Bonilla has been paid exactly $1.19 million by the Mets each year on July 1st, Bobby Bonilla Day, and it's for the next 25 years. So it's going to go to 2036.
Wow.
He's making
Mets,
that money.
The Mets didn't want to pay him all the money up front because if they would have, then it would have destroyed their salary. You know.
All right, we're going to play.
How'd that work for them? Next question.
We're going to do best of five here.
All right, so we're 0-0.
All right. On June 16th, 1994, the Pirates grounded into this many amount of double plays. I'll give you some hints. All right, ready? You can choose A, 9, B, 8, C, 7, or D, 6.
Ooh. I want to say 9.
I'm doing 7.
Correct answer is 7. We're looking for 7. So 14 outs by double plays.
Shoot.
You only get 27, so.
All right, so we got Matt Kurtick up.
I mean, that's fair.
On April 20th, 1995, this famous knuckleballer was released from the Pirates.
Tim Wakefield.
That is correct. 1-1.
I didn't have enough time to answer that one, so.
All right. Which season during their 20-year stretch was the first time that total attendance dropped below 1 million?
Wait, what was it? Can you repeat the question?
Which season during their 20-year stretch was the first time that the entire year dropped between under the entire year's attendance dropped below 1 million? The average attendance was 12,577.
Can you give me
1999?
That is incorrect, but good guess though.
1996?
1995 is what we were looking for.
12,000 at a big Three River Stadium. That's a
wow.
I'm sure that was rough to see.
All right. In 1998, the team went 5-22 in this month.
Give me June.
What year?
Give me June.
Or what year?
1998, the freak show year.
Can I have June? I thought 97
was freak show year. Sorry, year after the freak show year.
July.
Can I say June?
September is what we were looking for. All right, since we're running out.
One more.
All right, next one. Whoever gets the next one right.
Dad, we'll do one more question.
All right. This player, this Pirate star player, broke his ankle trying to beat out a bunt running the first base. On July 4th, 1999.
Why did you even give us statistics from 1999?
Because I'm just going down the list.
1999. You can't look up their roster from 1999. Mike's already.
This is an easy one, guys. This is a really easy one.
Jason Kendall.
It is Jason Kendall.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. So I win. I am
10 seconds of fame. 10 seconds of bragging. Go ahead and take it, buddy.
I don't need the 10 seconds of fame or bragging. Because it happens. I get it so often that I win stuff like this that I don't need to take the 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Just like how Corey Dickerson's better than Marte.
Corey Dickerson is.
Even though there's only one statistic he's higher than Marte in.
He is better than Marte.
One statistic he's higher.
We should take your microphone for saying that.
He is better than.
Two statistics.
All right, host. What do we have next?
So
we have next.
We have a couple more things to talk about before. We finish up. I guess we talked earlier about how the Rockies, we beat the Rockies earlier today. The Rockies handed us our first series loss of the season. The Pirates in the last few, about the last five, six games, the Pirates have kind of had a more difficult time hitting. which is tough to see because the Pirates came out and they had a batting average that was very high. We scored lots of runs. I mean, of course, we won today 10-2, but we lost yesterday 2-0. We lost the game before 6-2. Of course, we had a 7-run game against the Marlins. I think we won 7-2. We lost a game 7-3, and we lost a game 1-0. Or won a game 1-0. But
I'm going to take a hot take here.
Take a hot take
alert. I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to say that the reason the Pirates' offense has been struggling over the past few games, they've had more home games. PNC Park is a tough ballpark to hit in, and I honestly feel that now I don't have the numbers to look this up, but like their power numbers and stuff like that is better on the road. It's a hot take.
Well, maybe this far. It's still early, so I don't know if that's the issue. I just think their offensive statistics, their offensive numbers are just you can be the best team in baseball, and those numbers are still unrealistic to keep going. Well, you can't. You're not going to score 5 runs a game. You're not going to score 7 runs a game. You're not going to score 4 runs a game. It's difficult. It's really, really difficult to do that. It's near impossible. The best teams in baseball haven't been able to do it. That's why the Pirates, you know, offensive start. I believe they scored the third. I think it was the third or second most runs that they've ever scored in franchise history this year. I think it was going into the Rockies game. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was third or fourth highest runs that they've most amounts of runs that they've ever scored.
They were doing pretty okay.
Yeah, they've had some great teams. It's just an unrealistic thing to start. I mean, they were going to slow down. It was only a matter of when, not if.
And we talked about the Pirates hitting, which has been great so far this season. Of course, the away games, like Mike said, it helps. But
Starling Marte better than Corey Dickerson.
It's one thing to point out this so far for the Pittsburgh Pirates is the pitching as well, because we've scored a lot of runs.
Except Stephen Brault.
Except for, what are you talking about? Except Stephen Brault.
He's
a good hitter. Is that what you're saying?
Brault?
Brault is a good hitter. He's never struck out in his 27 at bats. He's had a major.
But
first pitcher that ever do that.
He's not. He's yeah, but his pitching has been.
Anyway,
his numbers are better than
Tyon.
Chad Cole.
Tyon has an ERA under 1,
that's
which
true.
Is fantastic. Trevor Williams is under 2.
He's pretty
2.
Legit.
Fantastic. But we have
pretty
3
good.
Pitchers so far in our rotation that have over a 4.5 ERA. And I know it's early in the season to do that, but Chad Cole, he got the win today, but his ERA is up over 5.5. Nova's is up towards 5, and Stephen Brault is almost up towards 5 as well.
I'm going to say my piece real quick here about this. Are we surprised by this?
Mm-mm.
That the back half of that rotation isn't good and that the bullpen – I'm going to drag the bullpen in. The bullpen, I think, has been a little bit better than expectations. They haven't been great. They haven't been good. They just haven't been god-awful terrible. But I think I'm not surprised that the back end of this rotation is just not that great.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't like to look more at ERA. I like to look more at fielding independent pitching, which better tells how good a pitcher is. You look at that, you know, Ivan Nova's fielding independent pitching is 4.13, which is average in the offensive-oriented baseball that we're in now. And Chad Cole's is 3.18. That being said, next year, I don't see any of those three pitchers in the rotation. And this was, even if they had a good decent year, I still don't think they would have been rotation. The rotation next year for me looks like Tyon at 1, and Trevor Williams at 2, Glasnow at 3, Mitch Keller at 4, and Joe Musgrove at 5. Those are the 5 guys I see in the opening day rotation next year. So I'm not too worried about this. And the bullpen, though, the bullpen worries me because George Contos, your setup guy, 6.55 fielding independent pitching.
Yeah.
Navaroskis, who got sent down, had an 8.15 fielding independent pitching. That's what worries me when I look towards this year and the future a little bit.
And I just want to, if you've been following the Pirates, not even closely, you know that Josh Harrison is expected to miss 6 weeks. When they were playing the Marlins, Jose Urena threw a 96-mile-per-hour fastball that hit off the pad of his elbow pad but happened to skip down and hit him right, the bone right by the pinky. So he broke that bone, the same bone that he broke in September of last year that ended his season. If you guys saw the game, Josh Harrison was very, very upset about it.
I mean,
the maddest I've ever seen Josh Harrison.
But here's the thing. you obviously have to, as a player, have to be absolutely frustrated when it's the same injury that happens again. And I saw he made a comment after the game where it was like, if you can't control it, don't throw inside. But listen, man, getting hit's a part of the game of baseball.
Well, there is a stretch last year where he got hit, and I believe it was seven consecutive
games. And Marte gets hit a bunch, too.
He got hit. Marte does, but I'm pretty sure Josh Harrison last year led the league. And I got to look. I'm going to look this up.
Cervelli gets hit a lot, too.
But here's the thing, though. If you're going to get hit, I mean, that's a way of a pitcher kind of taking back the inside half of the plate. If you're going to crowd the plate, get out of the way, or this is going to happen.
And like you said, Josh Harrison was hit 23 times last year, which was second in Major League Baseball. Of course, he's upset. With Harrison out, the Pirates called up Matsumoroff. Matsumoroff actually had an RBI double today. So hopefully he showed some signs of improvement last year. Hopefully he can bring that same type of hitting this season as he's up for Harrison. Of course, it's tough to see Harrison go. He's batting .263 so far this year, one home run, five RBIs as our leadoff guy. Of course, with McCutchen being gone, Harrison's one of those guys that he is also a fan favorite just based on how he is.
So is David Freese, because the team really likes advertising him. I think I've seen him play once this year.
Yeah, he had the start today.
As far as the Harrison loss goes, when it comes to the lineup will be fine. The starting lineup will be fine because I think Adam Frazier is just as good as Josh Harrison, to be honest. As far as the depth of the team goes,
There's a P. Depth. The death of the team. The depth.
As far as those guys, as that goes.
Thank you.
It gets hurt because now you got to put Frazier in the lineup. So now you lose your best bench player, or at least arguably your best bench player. They actually have a decent bench this year, not, you know, last year when they should have had a decent bench, but that's a different discussion for a different day. But, you know, Adam Frazier, yes, he fits into the lineup and that's fine. But where it hurts is, you know, now you're replacing Adam Frazier with Matsumoroff, which is a major drop off.
Where's Jordan Luplow at?
Well,
is he still down in AAA?
I would have liked to have seen them.
Bostic is up there.
I would have liked to have seen them bring up Ozuna, to be honest, Jose Ozuna, because I do like his power
bat.
Well,
the issue is that they have to bring up a middle reliever or a middle infielder and a guy that can also play the outfield.
See, you don't really need to do that because you have
Sean
Rodriguez and Ozuna can play first base and the outfield.
Can't Frazier play a little bit of
Frazier? Frazier you can move around too. So
you can do that with Moroff too.
They have enough utility guys that you don't need to bring up a utility guy to replace them. They have enough. They have two on their bench before Josh Harrison.
I personally think that bringing up Matsumoroff was a good decision because of how he did at the end of last season. When they gave Moroff a chance to go out there and get some at-bats at the end of the season, he did do well. His overall batting average was not high by any means. He struggled for a very long time when they first brought him up. It was
Jordan Luplow is batting .130 right now.
In AAA? All right, that was the last thing about the Pirates. I'll throw out one more quote from just what's going on in baseball right now before we wrap up our show, and I'll ask Mike about it. So Anthony Rizzo came out for baseball, and he quote and said, we play too much baseball, meaning that the season's way too long. Mike, before we get out of here, Logan, you can chime in at the end. What do you think about Rizzo's quote? Do you think that he's right?
Wow, I am so upset for this guy having to go to work at least 162 times a year, getting paid millions of dollars. Cry me a river, Anthony Rizzo. Get out there, play baseball. You're playing a kid's game. Enjoy it. You know, do you know how many people in the world? I wish I was still capable to go out and play baseball. But you know what?
162 times a year, yeah.
Like, come on, man. And you know what? How long have they been playing 162 game seasons? You know, go out there and play the sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. Logan, what do you think? Do you agree with him? Do you disagree?
It's difficult. I agree in the sense that, look, baseball now is a year-round sport from the moment you're in high school up. There's a reason there's so many arm injuries for pitchers. There's a reason that much more than previous years. There's a reason there's more injuries than previous years because players in high school and everything are playing, you know, they're playing club or
AAU.
Trying to think of AAU. Thank you, Mike. AAU baseball.
Yeah,
travel ball. They're playing high school ball. They're playing all of that. They don't have pitch counts for all three total, but they have pitch counts for each individual one. And so, you know, players are blowing out their arms before they even get to, you know, high school. It's why Taillon had an arm injury, why we see these guys come up and have these major arm injuries. So, yes,
from the moment you're in high school up, you play too much baseball. Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. Do I think shortening the major league is the way to go about this? No. I think you should shorten how much you play in terms of how much they play in high school. I don't think, you know, high school coaches should blow out arms as much as, you know, it happens, as much as we see these guys throw it.
Here's the thing, though. Think about if you're looking at high school baseball, how many players are going to the MLB? You know what I mean? You're playing to win those games. You're not playing because for you, you really don't care if that guy's going to the MLB. Those guys are getting paid to win games. And if you're losing games because you're not playing your best players.
But why use that as a reason to hurt the guys that do go to the MLB? Why use that as the reasoning behind?
You don't know if they're going
to
make it to the MLB.
So we're just going to blow out their arms and not give them a chance to be successful in the MLB?
You're not even guaranteeing that. I mean,
the point is there's a lot of injuries, and this is why.
You're a top prospect. You want to be out there for the biggest games no matter what. You don't care if there's a pitch count. You see it in the World Series all the time. These guys don't care. They just want to play the sport, and injuries are a part of the game.
To keep it in terms of professional sports, of course, it is tough nowadays that coaches and parents expect so much out of kids to play every day. It really is a problem, especially in baseball where your arm is super important, and if you're using it every day at a high caliber and stuff, it's really going to deteriorate your arm, and then you come out and play. But in terms of professional sports, do I think 162 games is a lot of games? Not even in the fact that, like, I don't want to play 162 games, but it is a very long season. And I don't mind it because it's all summer and it gives you something to watch on TV. But you don't need 162 games to determine who the best pitcher or the best hitters in baseball are, or to determine who the best team is. I don't think you need 82 games to determine who the best NBA team is. Of course, we're not going to change it anytime soon because that's just the way we've done it. And that's an issue with with baseball and with basketball and hockey and football. Football, 16 games is sometimes about right, but...
Well, they're looking to expand, too. Yeah, they've been talking about expanding that.
See, but here's the thing. I don't think the NFL should expand. I think everything...
Yeah, that's a different discussion for a different day.
I think everything should stay where it is. And Matt Curtick, my favorite thing that you've said so far this show is your arm is important in baseball. Who would have ever thunk?
Well, okay. It is. In baseball, I did play baseball growing up my entire life, and they expect you to be ready to throw every single day.
It's an issue that starts in high school, that starts in these AAU leagues. That's where it needs to be taken care of.
I think that's where the AAU stuff is too out of control, but like we've said, it's a conversation.
For a different day.
And for today, this is all we have time for. Thank you for tuning in, guys.
So, guys, the Pirates are 12-6. We're getting, hopefully, to better weather, and hopefully the Pirates keep their bats hot and keep going.
Your arm is important for baseball.
Your arm is super important for baseball.
Matt, can I say a final thought?
Sure.
You know, I just want to stretch my frustration at the ownership for a second. The fact that they're starting to get cheap, and they don't play. They play the instrumental song the instrumental version of this song after games, or they turn it down so quiet that you can't hear the singing. And it's ridiculous. It's frustrating.
The Pirates don't hit well at home because it's a conspiracy by Bob Nutting to not give home run balls to fans.
They didn't do fireworks at the game we were at.
We took Abe to his first Pirate game, and he didn't get to see fireworks.
Anyways, guys, we want to thank you guys for tuning in to Cannonball Coming. Thanks for joining us, especially on a playoff night for hockey.
Hockey.
Anyways.
Sports.
Sports. Thanks, guys. Sports. Have a great night, and let's go Bucks. Childhood dreams, Pops, Wagner, Trainer, Mazin, heroes yet to be.